Hey friends, Dan with Holy Spirit Soapbox. Welcome back. We are going to conclude this little two-part series on love. I'm going to start off with a story. I remember when I first found Christ and I got rebaptized to show my love for him. It was almost like a honeymoon phase type of love, or like a ludus love. I was like, this is amazing. This is what joy feels like. This is so cool. We would want to go serve. We were buying meals for the homeless. I was like, I want to serve all of God's people, all of God's creation, even if they're not even believers. I don't care. I want to go do. And I was like, I love God so much. I love his creation. Let's go. Let's serve. So Stacey and I went serve meals. Stacey and I bought blankets for the homeless. We did other things. We went to churches and we made community and we kept having to go to different churches and talk to different people and try to make community. And it was awesome, but then it kind of wore off. It wore off. It was like this newness that was like really, really amazing and cool. But then I wanted more. I wanted to seek more for self-benefit. You know, it's one thing to seek more God. It's another to seek more self using God. I felt this want for that long-term love too, based on commitment or pragma love. And in it, I receive philaftia love, that self-confidence. Like, nothing can stop me. I know the God of the universe loves me so much and thinks this way of me. I am unbeatable. But if you notice about each of these, they're all based on self-centered love. They're transactional. And they're transactional loves that I want and I desired and feel the need for. And sometimes that type of self-centered love turns into mania. Or that crazy obsessive love. It can portray outward. It can portray as an outward love, that mania love, or all of these types of love. But in reality, it's more of an inward love that can generally show outwardly, if that makes sense. Even though I was just like, yep, I am deeply in love with this God, I really wasn't. I was just trying to do things to show that I was in love with him. For instance, let me give you a better example. I bought Stacey candy and gifts when I was trying to win her over. I loved her. Well, I loved her for selfish wants. I wanted her. I desired her. Those selfish wants are fleeting, or they're variable. Once I, quote unquote, got her, things started to change a little bit, where I of course love her, but it's a different type of love. I could still be set in the ways of self-centered love, though, which can ultimately hurt our relationship since it's one way. I can take any one of those other loves other than agape or hesed, and I can just try to adapt that into our relationship. I can set my identity in one of those loves. Like, this is how I'm going to show Stacey love, and this is how Stacey can show me love. And if not, she doesn't love me. And if I don't feel like it that day, maybe I fell out of love with her. Obviously, this is not good for a relationship, especially a marriage. And she can and actually did do the same thing. She tells me this. When we went through our hardships in our relationship where I started like chasing worldly things instead of God and instead of her, she started to chase me and only me. She started turning to self-centered love types. She went through each and every one of those love definitions that I mentioned earlier, but none of them worked. Finally, though, when she surrendered, that is where life changed and God's spirit worked. And same with me. When it finally hit me like, Dan, stop it, you dummy. And I surrendered and felt self-sacrificial love and that I was forgiven 70 times 7, I realized how much I needed a savior. And because of that, we both decided that we should start looking to Jesus first and his agape or chesed love and take that on as an identity so that we can reflect agape or chesed love. We'll reflect that right out. If it's our identity, that means it's me now. That's who I am. That's who she is. And it's going to reflect outwardly. Self-sacrificial, gratitude-driven, unconditional love. First for God, number one is always God, which then reflects onto each other, which then reflects onto others. The first seven loves that I named in the previous episode are great. They can be great. They are good gifts. Some of them are good gifts. Maybe not mania as much, but some of them are good gifts from God to experience in life. But they tend to be self-centered types of love. But the eighth, agape or chesed love, is eternal. Now I can see why Paul explains love as being so important, the greatest of these. It's not just as love is cool and you put that on a t-shirt or something, or yeah, it's easy, just love and accept them for who they are, or love is just being peaceful and understanding so that people can love themselves. No, it's a self-sacrificial or selfless love, a love that we literally cannot understand without God's guidance and without knowing God's heart through Jesus Christ. Humans cannot love the same way that God loves without first identifying as in Christ, so that the Spirit can move us to love how God loves. Let me say that again. Humans cannot love the same way that God loves without first identifying as in Christ, so that the Spirit can move us to love how God loves. God's love includes us helping others to understand who they are in Christ, so that they no longer stay or even want to stay in their fleshly, worldly way of life. That's love. But first, we have to set our identity back into Christ, if you haven't done so already. The identity series we did a little while back now outlines how we can do that, how we can put our identities back into Christ. But most importantly, we need to fall in agape love with Jesus Christ. This love comes from understanding everything he did for us on the cross and the resurrection. To understand that we were of the flesh and disconnected from God and his kingdom because we chose to be, and that he stopped at nothing, literally nothing, to gain us all back into his royal family. We have to first recognize how much we're in need of being saved every single moment of our lives. Without being saved and rescued, there's a false sense of happiness that only leads to stress, weeping, you know, frustration, worry, and an internal feeling of like a lack of hope. Think of your very worst day in your life. Now think of that continuously over and over and over again, except even worse. The place away from God is awful. And I never want to find out what that's like, honestly. And I won't, praise God. But when we aren't falling in love with Christ, when we aren't in love with Christ, and we start to love other things more than Christ, it's like committing adultery with our Savior and fornicating with the worldly, non-eternal stuff that Paul refers to as sarx in Greek, or flesh. I don't even want to commit adultery on Stacy, on my wife, let alone God, you know, the creator of the universe. But that's what we do. When we love other things, when we care so much about the worldly, non-eternal things, we forget the eternal, or we kind of put the eternal on the back burner, or we just kind of like, yeah, I love him. I know, I believe in him. And you just, it's a hobby to you or something. That's committing adultery on God. Because God tells us that in the end, we are the brides. We are the church. The church is the bride, and he is the bridegroom. We will be married. We'll be together with him forever if you want to be part of the body of Christ, if you're in the body of Christ. He says this. So we generally are betrothed to God right now, aren't we? And if you're betrothed, we all know what that means. That's like engaged. We're engaged to God. If you choose to be Christ followers, you are engaged to God right now. I know this sounds weird, but stay with me. And we all know that in the Old Testament with Mary, she was betrothed to Joseph and she was pregnant by the Spirit. And people thought she committed adultery. Yeah, they weren't married yet. Technically married on paper, but they still consider that marriage. So guess what? If you are betrothed to God right now, and you choose to look outside of this marriage, that's adultery. That's fornication. We are essentially ripping and disconnecting ourselves apart from God. But in Christ, it's not even an option. If your identity is in Christ, it's not even an option to commit adultery or fornication. Not out of threat, not in a threatening way. We just can't escape that awful place without Him. And once we recognize that and we feel that, we will then owe everything to God. We'll have the deepest feeling of gratitude and self-sacrificial love for God. And we want that for everybody because that's what He wants for everybody. And for some reason, this is me included, we have this flirty type of honeymoonish love for God, right? Where I'm like, yeah, you know, I love God so much, so I'll go to church, you know, here and there. I'll love Him and I'll serve people. I'll love other people. Yeah, I gave my neighbor my lawnmower, so I love him, you know? And I'll read my Bible once or twice every so often. And it's fine. He knows me. He loves me and I love Him. He knows my heart. He knows my heart. So that's the question we have to ask ourselves. Are we deeply in love with God? Do we deeply, deeply in our heart love God with all of our minds and our hearts and our soul? I have a verse for you to meditate on here. This is 1 John 3:16. Not just John 3:16, 1 John 3:16. This is an epistle that he wrote, a letter. Now, in John 3:16, John uses a word with the root of agape to describe that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. He uses that word, agape. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Now, in 1 John 3:16, he says this, "By this we know love, that He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers." Which word do you think he uses for love here, when we know love? Yep, agape. John, Peter, Paul, and the other authors of the epistles and gospels use agape many times to describe God's love. In this case, he says, we know agapein, or love. We know it by what Jesus did for us, because He laid down His life for all of us. And because of that, we have eternal life. Yay, yay. Now, your question, which is a little bit different, but you probably are going to see it coming. Are you deeply in agape love with your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? If so, yippee. If not, why not? And how do we get there? Folks, thank you so much. I think I said the word love like more times than it says it in the Bible, but that's okay. That's okay. It's a great word. It's a lovely word. No, that's awful. But seriously, this has been fun because there's this stumbling block. There's this weird situation where we think we just love something, and you can love pizza and you can love your father or your mother. You can love your wife or you can love golf. And that's just different love. And we know that. So why do we read it the same way in the Bible? Why do we read God loves us? Oh yeah, good for Him. God loves us and He loves the pizza that He did make me and He gave me. I know, He loves. It's not the same. He loved you so much. He still loves you so much. And He wants you back with Him. And that's why He sent Jesus Christ to die and resurrect for all of you and me. And for everybody that will be. So let's talk to Him. Let's pray. Take your prayer posture. And let's let Him know we love Him. Our Father in heaven, we love you. We really do. I really want to take the time here to speak for everybody that listens and speak for all Christ followers to say that we really appreciate all that you've done for us on the cross and off the cross with the resurrection. And I want to take the time to say thank you for all the worldly things that we can enjoy here. But we don't want to commit adultery on you. We don't want to fornicate with the non-eternal things and love these things of the world more than you. We want to take the bread and accept the bread and appreciate the bread, but we don't want to fall in love with the bread. So we thank you for it. We want to take your love, and we don't want to take it for granted. So we thank you for everything you've done for us, for the mercy and grace that you give along with everything. And we pray all of this. I pray over everybody listening to understand how deep, how wide, how high, and how long your love is for us. In Jesus' name, amen.